From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, March 27th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 25 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
The Maine Principals Association and a Southern Maine school board say they cannot agree to a list of demands from the Trump administration over transgender athletes. As Kevin Miller reports, the decision is likely to trigger additional sanctions from the White House.
Last week, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services gave the Principals Association, the Maine Department of Education, and Greeley High School in Cumberland 10 days to agree to comply with the Trump administration's interpretation of Title IX. That's the law that the feds say Maine violated by allowing transgender high school athletes to compete in girls' sports. The Maine Principals Association and the school board that governs Greeley High said in separate statements that complying with the list of demands would violate the Maine Human Rights Act. The Maine Attorney General's office, meanwhile, declined to comment on behalf of the State Education Department. But HHS officials have threatened to refer the cases to the Department of Justice unless Maine comes into compliance. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Republican Susan Collins is joining Senate Democrats in contesting President Donald Trump's authority to curtail nearly $3 billion in spending contained in the budget bill Congress approved just last week. The move comes less than 2 months after she voted to confirm the president's budget director, Russell Vogt. Steve Missler has more.
Vogt is the architect of Project 2025, a conservative governing treatise that calls for consolidating power in the executive branch and wresting spending decisions away from Congress. And this week, Trump, at Vogt's recommendation, said he would move to block nearly a dozen initiatives included in the budget bill that date back to 2023. Collins is co-chairwoman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, which has traditionally had significant influence over congressional spending decisions. On Thursday, Collins joined Appropriations co-chair Murray, a Democrat from Washington, in challenging the president's decision to exclude congressionally approved spending. In a letter to Vogt, Collins and Murray say the president cannot cherry-pick which approved spending initiatives he wants to follow. Collins has said that she voted to confirm Vogt because he was qualified for the position and that she believes the courts will intervene if the Trump administration tramples on Congress's power of the purse. The Senate Appropriations Committee, meanwhile, has not met publicly this year, according to its hearing calendar. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Maine Senator Angus King says a 25% reduction in staff in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced today by the Department Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will endanger public health and will not solve the federal government's fiscal challenges.
All of these firings are not going to help the budget deficit. If they fired half the people in the federal government, it would reduce the federal budget by 1.4%. So what they're really doing is disrupting a lot of good people's lives, by the way, a third of whom are veterans. Let that sink in. Thank you for your service. You're fired.
King says the sweeping cuts to Social Security and Veterans Affairs are another example of the Trump administration's irrational approach to shrinking the government. The Maine Department of Health and Human Services employs 3,100 people across Maine. It's unclear how many employees here will be affected. Labor advocates took to the halls of the Statehouse today to lobby for a number of initiatives, including one that would make mental health workers at state psychiatric facilities eligible for the same retirement plan as firefighters, law enforcement, and corrections officers. Abe Snowman works at Riverview Psychiatric Center in Augusta. He says he's been injured 15 times on the job and says the retirement plan would be a key support to help retain staff.
When we get people to stay, we have better trained people. In return, we have less injuries and a better patient treatment. I ask that you remember that we deal with some of the sickest people that have done some of the most horrific things while on the outside. And keep in mind, if we are not here to do this job, these patients could end up being your neighbors.
Advocates are also pressing lawmakers to support a pay hike for state workers and a bill that would create a $165 million stabilization fund to pay for the higher wages. The members of a state task force on harm reduction say they're uncertain about whether Maine should authorize the opening of sites that allow people to safely use drugs in a supervised setting. In a report to the legislature today, Gordon Smith, Maine Director of Opioid Response, said the group is hesitant in part due to how the Trump administration might come down on the issue.
It wouldn't make a lot of sense to dump a tremendous amount of time, money, and effort to open a site if you're a U.S. attorney, yet to be appointed in Maine on a permanent basis, said he was going to shut it, he or she would shut it down.
Smith says the legality of safe use sites is unsettled in federal law. Fatal drug overdoses declined by roughly one-third in Maine over the last 2 years, but the state is still averaging more than one overdose death a day. Public health advocates in Maine say the federal government's abrupt decision to cut off more than $11 billion in COVID-related grant money for state and local health programs is short-sighted. It wasn't immediately clear Thursday how much funding Maine will lose, but Matt Wellington, associate director of the Maine Public Health Association, says it will likely be tens of millions of dollars. He says the money helped fill gaps in public health infrastructure that were exposed during the pandemic, including biosecurity and addiction and mental health services.
I like to think of it as someone who's taking care of a house. And when you have a major storm and realize there's a bunch of leaks in your roof, you're going to want to fix those leaks before the next storm.
Wellington says the Maine Public Health Association is urging the state's congressional delegation to use their authority to reinstate the funding, which was already appropriated by Congress. A spokesperson for Maine's Department of Health and Human Services said the funding was terminated as of March 24th, and the department is still evaluating the impact. Biddeford native Jack Williams has signed with the Columbus Blue Jackets of the National Hockey League. Williams recorded 39 goals in his 3 seasons at Northeastern University and led the team in points and assists last season. Blue Jackets general manager Don Waddell announced Tuesday that Williams had agreed to a 2-year entry-level contract. Waddell described the 23-year-old as a hardworking leader with great potential. Williams is expected to join the team later this week. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, an update on state and national politics. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.